Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our new member of the team, Christopher Cameron, as we bring you a holiday edition of Word on the Hills. Chris, you recently gave a talk about Dickens and the music of his time. And what did Christmas represent to Dickens himself?
Well, like most of the Victorian contemporaries, Charles Dickens loved Christmas. But for him, there was another dimension. All his life, he was distressed by the plight of the poor in Britain, and even more, by what he perceived as the indifference, even the willful ignorance of the upper classes, to the plight of the poor. So his beloved novel, A Christmas Carol, was really a social statement as much as it was an entertainment, pointing out the inequities and the injustices that existed at the time. Of course, Christmas Carol has a happy ending, so I'd like to read a little passage from one of the jollier parts of the book. So this is from A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Such a bustle ensued that you might have thought a goose the rarest of all birds. And in truth it was something very like that in that house. Mrs. Cratchit made the gravy, ready beforehand, in a little saucepan. Master Peter mashed the potatoes with incredible vigour. Miss Belinda sweetened up the apple sauce. Martha dusted the hot plates. Bob took Tiny Tim beside him in a tiny corner at the table. The two young Cratchits set chairs for everybody, not forgetting themselves. At last the dishes were set on, and the grace was said. It was succeeded by a breathless pause, as Mrs. Cratchit, looking slowly all along the carving knife, prepared to plunge it in the breast. But when she did, and when the long-expected gush of stuffing issued forth, one murmur of delight rose all around the board, and even Tiny Tim, excited by the two young Cratchits, beat on the table with the handle of his knife, and feebly cried, "Hurrah!" Then Bob proposed, "A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us all." "God bless us, everyone," said Tiny Tim, the last of all.
Lovely. I'm whetting my appetite for sure. Thanks, Chris. Before the break, we heard a fun poem, and so we thought we'd keep it going with this funny Christmas story from Kim Sherman Grove. Kim is a popular writing teacher and the author of many short stories and articles. Kim, where does this story come from?
Well, one of the favorite things that we did as a family was get around the dining room table and tell stories. No one could tell a story like my father, and he would entertain our family of seven around the dinner table all year long. Whatever the topic, he had a funny story for it. And for the special occasion of Christmas, he would tell his favorite, the Spanish dancer. And he'd act it out with gusto, as though he were playing charades. A woman arrives at a party very late. As she approaches the home, she hears music. How wonderful to have live music, she thinks, realizing that someone is energetically playing the piano in the living room. Noticing a rose in the vase in the hallway, she decides to make a flamboyant entrance for her friends. She puts the rose between her teeth. She dances into the room. At this point in the story, my dad would get up from his chair, start humming some Spanish flamenco-type music, and grit his teeth over one finger as if he had a thorny stem in his mouth. He'd wave his arms as though flinging open the living room doors, and he would begin to dance around the room. As the woman looks around, she realizes she doesn't recognize anyone. She has interrupted a serious piano recital. Instead of stopping and excusing herself, she simply continues dancing backwards towards the door, exits while placing the rose back in the vase, and is never seen again.
Thanks, Kim. That was fun. Our next reader's story is quite different. Ron Mackay will read an excerpt from a longer Christmas story. Ron writes drama, fiction, and memoir. His latest memoir tells of the time he spent in Tenerife.
I chose this story because it's about both Christmas and love on many levels. It hinges around not just one single Christmas, but many. In the words of St. Paul, it's a story of a love that passeth all understanding. So it makes it specially appropriate for this time of year. I was inspired to write this story first by a visit to the statue of the emigrant on the island of Tenerife earlier this year. The gaping hole in the statue's breast suggests that he has left his heart behind in the village of his birth. I asked myself, What might the emigrant story have been if a simple man had left his village for the Americas because a jealous father tricked him into emigrating to prevent him from marrying his daughter? In Sweet Rejoicing. A statue stands on a rock outside the village of Garachico, overlooking the Atlantic. A man in vigorous mid-stride, his gaze on the distant Americas, a suitcase clutched in his left hand, a vacant hole where his heart should be. "That's Tonio, the emigrant," Juan told me. "He represents all Tinerfeños who have left our islands for the New World." Juan lit his pipe and began his story. On his 12th birthday, Tonio started work with his father in the banana plantation that belonged to the Count. That's what boys did then. From the terraces, Tonio could enjoy the sight of his tiny village, the fishermen rowing home, the comforting sound of the carpenter's saw and the shoemaker's hammer, the church bells that marked the hours and sanctified the day with prayer. But the Christmas Tonio turned 17, everything changed. At Mass, he approached the Nativity, the better to see baby Jesus in his manger with his smiling eyes and his open arms. And that's when Tonio first saw an angel. Her name was Eva, the youngest daughter of Fausto the shoemaker. After that, Tonio never missed Sunday Mass. After Mass, young men and women, fresh in Sunday clothes, would stroll in groups around the plaza. They might exchange a few shy words with one another. In those days, that was how courting began, how marriage came about. Tonio and Eva were content with these shy conversations, but Fausto was not. He wanted more for his daughter than a life of drudgery married to a plantation worker. So before Tonio and Eva could even get to know each other, Fausto took Tonio aside.
"Your shoes are worn, Tonio. I will repair them, just because I like the look of you."
As he resoled the shoes, Fausto asked,
"What will you do with your life, Tonio?"
"Exactly what I do now. Enjoy our village, the changing of the seasons, and my work in the plantation." Fausto was silent. Tonio felt obliged to add, "I may become foreman when my father retires."
"In the Americas, a man can earn and return rich." Fausto winked at Tonio. "Then he can marry the girl of his choice."
To Tonio, it sounded like advice. Emigrate, make a fortune, then come home and marry my angel. The wily Fausto knew, however, that once in the Americas, men seldom returned. "But I have no money for the passage." Tonio felt inadequate.
"Who needs money?" Fausto winked again. "I have connections."
And that was how Tonio secured the promise of his passage to Venezuela, even though emigration was illegal in those days and was undertaken in secret. Eva tried to dissuade Tonio, but since they were not engaged, Fausto had acted well before promises could be made, their conversations were oblique and public. Eva would feign brightness. "Who in our village is not happy with the school they attend or the church they worship in? To love home is as natural as breathing." Confused, Tonio could only repeat Fausto's words.
"But things can be different."
"Different?" Eva shook her head. "We love tradition, and what we love, we want to last forever."
"The Americas offer opportunities."
Again, Tonio repeated Fausto's words. "I will return in 2 or 3 years." He looked longingly at Eva, hoping she understood what he felt. During the following Christmas Mass, just as Father Roberto announced the triumphant words, "For unto us is born this day a Saviour," a stranger took Tonio's elbow. Tonio followed the stranger in silence. From Fausto's workshop, he collected the cardboard suitcase that he had left there for this very secret occasion. From the rock above the harbour, Tonio looked back. Eva was standing at the church door, the candles bright behind her, her arms open. The gesture told Tonio that Eva loved him and would wait for his return. From the church doors, Eva saw Tonio pause, his hand on his heart. As he removed his hand, the setting sun passed clean through him. Eva blinked once, and Tonio was gone.
Thank you, Ron. What a touching piece. Well, that brings us to the end of this holiday edition of Word on the Hills. We hope you enjoyed it. If you would like to listen to any of our other programs again, you'll find them all archived at our website, wordonthehills.com. And now Felicity and I and our sound technician Chris would like to wish you all the very best for the season and the new year. May your lives be filled with love and peace and joy. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio.